Chapter 33. Has God given us ears to hear, eyes to see, and intelligence to understand? The Pope says no, but the Son of God says yes. Perceive ye not yet, neither understand? Have ye your heart yet hardened? Having eyes, see ye not, and having ears, hear ye not? And do ye not remember? Mark 8:17-18. This solemn appeal of our Savior to our common sense could demolish the whole fabric of Rome. The Pope knows it. Hence, Roman Catholics are warned not to trust the testimony of their ears, eyes, or intelligence. There was living at La Jeune Lorette an old retired priest who was blind. To help him, the curates around Quebec used to keep him by turn in their parsonages. The councils of Rome have forbidden blind priests to say their mass, but on account of high piety, he had gotten from the Pope the privilege of celebrating the short mass of the Virgin, which he knew perfectly by heart. One morning, the old priest was at the altar saying his mass. I was in the vestry hearing confessions, when the young servant boy came to me and said, Father Duell calls you, please come quick. Fearing something had happened to my old friend, I ran to him. I found him nervously tapping the altar with his hands, as in anxious search for some very precious thing. When very near to him, I said, What do you want? He answered me with a shriek of distress, The good God has disappeared from the altar. He is lost. Hoping that he was mistaken, and that he had only dropped the good God, Le Bon Dieu, on the floor, by some accident, we made a most minute search, but the good God could not be found. At first, remembering the thousand miracles I had read of the disappearance and marvelous changes of form of the wafer God, it came to my mind that we were in the presence of some great miracle, but I soon changed my mind. The Church of Beauport was inhabited by the boldest and most insolent rats I have ever seen. Many times when saying Mass, I had seen the ugly noses of several of them, who, attracted by the smell of the fresh wafer, wanted to make their breakfast with the body, blood, soul, and divinity of my Christ. But as I was constantly in motion, or praying with a loud voice, the rats had invariably been frightened and fled into their secret quarters. Father Duell sincerely believed that all the priests of Rome are bound to believe that he had the power to turn the wafer into God. Leaning my head towards the distressed old priest, I asked him, Have you not remained as you are, used a long time motionless in adoring the good God after the consecration? He quickly answered, Yes. But what has this to do with the loss of the good God? I replied in a low voice, but with an honest accent of distress and awe, Some rats have dragged away and eaten the good God. What do you say? Replied Father Duell. The good God carried away and eaten by rats? Yes, I replied. I have not the least doubt about it. My God, what a dreadful calamity upon me! The old man raised his hands and his eyes to heaven and cried, my God, why have you not taken away my life before such a misfortune could fall upon me? He could not speak any longer. His voice was choked by his sobs. At first I did not know what to say. A thousand thoughts, some very grave, some exceedingly ludicrous, crossed my mind. The old priest was weeping as a child. He asked me, with a voice broken by his sobs, What must I do now? I answered him, The Church has foreseen occurrences of that kind and provided for them. The only thing you have to do is to get a new wafer, consecrate it, and continue your Mass as if nothing strange had occurred. I will go and get you new bread. I ran to the vestry and brought a new wafer, which he consecrated and turned into a new god, and finished his Mass as I had told him. After it was over, I took the disconsolate old priest by the hand to my parsonage. I tried to calm his feelings by telling him that it was no fault of his, that this strange and sad occurrence was not the first, and that it had been calmly foreseen by the Church, which had told us what to do in these circumstances, that there was no fault, no offense against God or man on his part. I had hoped that the common sense of my words would help him to overcome his feelings, but I was mistaken. His lamentations were so bitter and as long as those of Jeremiah. At last I lost patience and said, "My dear Father Dull, our great and just God cannot like such an excess of sorrow and regret about a thing which was only and entirely under the control of his power and eternal wisdom." Mr. Chenecky replied, "I see you lack the attention and experience so often lacking among young priests. You do not comprehend the awful calamity which has just occurred in your church. If you had more faith and piety, you would weep with me. How can you speak so lightly of a thing which makes the angels of God weep? Our dear Savior dragged and eaten by rats? Oh, great God, does not this surpass the humiliation and horrors of Calvary?" "My dear Father Dole," I replied, "allow me respectfully to tell you that I understand as well as you do the nature of the deplorable event of this morning. I would have given my blood to prevent it, but let us look at that fact in its proper light. It did not depend on our will. Our God is the only one who could foresee and prevent it. And, to give you plainly my own mind, if I were God Almighty and a miserable rat would come to eat me, I would strike him dead before he could touch me." As you can see, my former robust faith in my priestly power of changing the wafer into my God had largely evaporated. Evidently, God wanted to open my eyes to the awful absurdities of a religion whose God could be dragged and eaten by rats. Had I been faithful to the saving insights which were in me then, I would have been saved that very hour, and before the end of that day I would have broken the shameful chains of the Pope. In that hour it seemed evident that the dogma of transubstantiation was a most monstrous lie, and my priesthood an insult to God and man. My intelligence said to me with a thundering voice, "Do not remain any longer. The priest of a God whom you make every day, and whom the rats can eat." Though blind, Father Dole understood very well, by the stern accents of my voice, that my faith in the God whom he had created that morning had been seriously modified, if not entirely crumbled. He remained silent for some time, after which he invited me to sit by him, and he spoke to me with a pathos and an authority which my youth and his old age alone could justify. He gave me the most awful rebuke I ever had. He overwhelmed me with a deluge of holy fathers, councils, and infallible popes who had believed and preached before the whole world the dogma of transubstantiation. If I had paid attention to the voice of my intelligence and accepted the light which my merciful God was giving me, I could easily have smashed the arguments of the old priest of Rome. But what could my intelligence say against the Church of Rome? I was forbidden to hear it, for it carried no weight against so many learned, holy, infallible intelligences. Alas, I was not aware then that the weight of the intelligence of God was on my side, and that weighed against the intelligence of the popes was greater than all the worlds against a grain of sand. 1 hour later, shedding tears of regret, I was at the feet of Father Dahl in the confessional box, confessing the great sin I had committed by doubting for a moment the power of the priest to change a wafer into God. He gave me my pardon. For my penance, he forbade me ever to say a word about the sad end of the God he had created that morning. For, said he, this would destroy the faith of the most sincere Roman Catholics. The other part of the penance was that for 9 days I had to go on my knees before the 14 stations of the cross and say a penitential psalm before every picture, which I did. By the 6th day, the skin of my knees was pierced, and the blood was flowing freely. I suffered real torture every time I knelt down, and at every step I made. But it seemed to me that these terrible tortures were nothing compared to my great iniquity.